Power Four, triple option. RB, Katy, single, more speed option here. We got Brad Kellner. I'm Kevin Dunn. Rod Babers will be back on Thursday. He's celebrating with his new bride. But they're not like on a honeymoon. I think, did they just stay up there?
I think so. I know they're not doing their honeymoon yet. I think they're waiting for COVID to subside a little bit more.
You okay with that bit because of the pandemic?
Waiting for the honeymoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't bother me. Gives Rod some more vacation, man. Good for him.
Yeah, right.
Smart
exactly.
Play on his part.
Very smart.
I'm all about taking vacations, so.
Sometimes I wonder if that's the only reason you believe.
In Judaism or in life?
Both.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty accurate. The jokes are pretty good, too.
Nah, jokes are good.
Yeah.
Got the jokes, get the days off. I was convinced. I still haven't converted, though.
We'll take you.
Is it a tough conversion? It's not the Greek Orthodox thing where Costanza's writing stuff down and is in his hand?
I don't think it's that tough.
Okay.
I don't know the full details. I've never done it myself.
Do I have to take a test?
Not like a written test, I don't think.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, but I shouldn't even say that because I really don't know. Never done it.
You didn't have to convert.
I've never converted anybody either. I haven't Jehovah's Witnessed anybody.
You haven't convinced one?
No. I haven't. I haven't really tried.
Look,
I don't know.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to.
Now, if someone came to you and asked about the religion and was serious about it, you would definitely.
For sure.
Okay.
But I'm not going to start religious conversations with people in hopes of getting them to come to my side.
That's very fair.
You weren't chosen. I was chosen, baby.
Oh, is that it?
You got to earn your way here.
You got to earn your way in, my man. Earn your way in. HornFM.com. There's just been so many things to talk about the last week, 2 weeks, and obviously with the whole Texas and SEC and Texas and OU to the SEC. That's opened up a lot of questions, including what's the official terminology we're giving it? The Senate hearing or whatever it was today that they end up having senators from Texas Tech or that represent certain areas for Tech, Baylor, and TCU, and they were kind of giving their side. Well, this is not good for the state of Texas.
Yeah, it's politicians, it's athletic directors, some university presidents are a part of this thing as well. So we'll see if anything comes of it. It just feels like a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And it's made for some viral quotes over the last couple of hours, like Baylor's AD Mac Rhodes took a shot at Texas, and that's kind of been making the rounds on social media. Apparently, Kirby Hocutt recently said he's worried about the Big 12 not being a Power 5 conference in the future, which...
That's an honest statement.
Feels obvious.
Yeah.
But yes, also a little bit of honesty and tells you that there is some concern with the irate eight, the other eight teams still in the Big 12 for the future. So we're getting some of that. I don't know if anything's going to change from this in terms of Texas and Oklahoma's plans to join the SEC. We're still trying to figure out exactly when that happens. Of course, the legal jargon tells you we'll have to wait until 2025 for anything to go down, but it seems to feel like we are progressing towards that happening much, much quicker than that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this is just what's happening today is an airing of grievances, and we'll get some quotes and some fun conversation for the radio, but I don't really know what this is going to do.
I'm with you on that. Ultimately, I don't think anything changes. I think what it could do is create just more obstacles for Texas and OU to get there and get there as quickly as they want to get there. And we know there's already going to be some legal obstacles with the grant of rights, which is why you hear everyone really saying from a Texas and OU side, no, we plan to play until 2025. Some Texas fans are like, well, that's going to be weird. It's not going to go that long. We've said that. Mm-hmm. And if anything, and Bowlesby even said it today, they will meet in court and at that point find a number, much like Maryland and the ACC did. And I keep on giving that as an example where that was set at a $52 million buyout and they ended up buying them out for 31 and a half.
Yeah.
Or buying themselves out.
Buying themselves out. And look, Texas can afford it even if it is $70 million. But you've got the LHN money that's been spitballed, right? ESPN still owes the University of Texas a lot for the Longhorn Network to where they could not only pay Texas's exit fee to go to the SEC early, but also pay Oklahoma's exit fee to go to the SEC early. So, look, Texas can't afford it if that's what it's going to cost. But, yeah, it feels like pettiness, and it feels like, okay, try to make this as hard as Texas and Oklahoma to leave because they're putting us in a tough spot. And that's true. I mean, it's the case. Now, you talked about it a lot. Those other schools have been benefiting from Texas and Oklahoma a ton over the years, but What Texas and Oklahoma is doing is obviously hurting those schools right now. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and I guess the real question is for people, do you think that Texas owes those schools? And do you think that maybe, and some of the arguments I've heard here are, hey, this is the University of Texas system that is paid statewide. And a lot of that money comes from different things. But the argument has been, well, that there are people that pay taxes that will affect, that are not affected by in terms of being a Texas fan, right? But they are affected by being a Baylor grad, a Tech grad, a whatever. And so TCU was thrown in there as well. And those are the three schools that are being represented. So is that enough to force the hand of a school like Texas to say, well, wherever we are, you need to be with us?
Mm-hmm. I think Chad made
that's been the argument forever.
Chad made a metaphor. It has been, absolutely. And Oklahoma's going through it with Oklahoma State,
yep,
right?
No doubt.
That's going on north of the Red River. And Chad made a metaphor, I think, comparing like the situation to a shade tree. Like Texas has just provided shade for a long time to these other schools, and you move the shade tree and you're pissed off because it's gone and you didn't really realize like how much it was doing for you.
Yep.
That's sort of what this thing feels like right now. Apparently Jay Hartzell is about to speak. I think he's the last speaker, at least for the universities in terms of representing
the
Texas
universities. He was the last one on the schedule.
So I think he is just about to take the podium. So if we get any groundbreaking quote from President Hartzell, we'll let you know.
So this continues to ask the question or beg the question, where does the SEC stop? And we've seen, I mean, I don't know if you saw Herbie, you know, Kirk Herbstreit is not happy with it. You've seen a lot of people that are either pundits or ADs at other places and Big 12 commissioner, or I'm sorry, in commissioners of the other Power Five that are not real happy with how quickly this is changing and where it may go, BK.
Kirk Herbstreit taking a shot at Texas?
Yeah, I know.
Amazing.
And I'm not even sure. I mean, it was an indirect shot. It was more just about where everything's gone, so he can get on the Big Ten for that. Look, this has been going on for a while. This almost feels like a final blow.
Yeah, it does. It's hilarious that Texas is getting all the blame here. Like, Oklahoma's getting nothing, but also we're acting like realignment has never happened in college sports
before. Right.
Like, nobody else has ever left their conference to go to a conference that was better for them. Yeah, it might screw some other people. The people in charge aren't worried about the other people. They're worried about their university.
Yeah.
Like the presidents, the athletic directors, the chancellors, they're worried about their university, and they should be. It's not their job to worry about the other nine schools in their conference. They take care of themselves because that's who they represent. So, yeah, and then tradition. Like, how much tradition is going away from the Big 12 breaking up?
Tradition, so look, you get this a lot, and you just get either language that people just hear and they just continue to repeat. It feels like copy points or message points. I get how tradition has been a message point for the stopping of expansion. It's not a good one here. This actually creates more real tradition that had been taken away by expansion going back to 1991.
What real rivalries do we lose from Texas and Oklahoma joining the Big 12?
I would argue you gain two rivalries for Texas that are bigger than anything they have in the Big 12.
Right, because you're keeping Oklahoma. Of course, this would be different if those schools were separating.
And you're adding 2 and 3 for the school.
You're adding A&M and you're adding Arkansas, which are, you talk about tradition.
Yeah.
Those are more traditional rivalries for Texas than anybody else in the Big 12.
No doubt.
Now, you're losing Bedlam. That's the one from an Oklahoma perspective, you could argue. But maybe there's a way that the Oklahoma State legislator does what Florida does with Florida and Florida State, where it's like you have to play, even though you're in different conferences, you have to play the other in-state team every year. I don't know why Oklahoma would be against that. They beat the hell out of Oklahoma State every time they play. They'd probably be chomping at the bit to do that. So, yeah, it's like, there's actually maybe more tradition, you could argue, that's coming through this.
That is my argument.
Yeah.
No, there's more tradition in that. That's why when I hear that just as a reflexive message point, I'm like, nope. It doesn't work on this one. You got to go case by case, and it doesn't work on this expansion.
Kirby, not a fan of Texas. I think it's been pretty clear and obvious over the years. And he called this place a cesspool one time. Wasn't that his bit?
Yeah, that was his bit.
Austin was a cesspool. Meanwhile, Baylor was 100 miles up the road, and
they
didn't have anything bad to say about them.
He's dealing with all that. Yeah. So it does beg the question about expansion, BK.
Yeah.
And we saw a rumor today, or a report today, I should say, that Florida State and Clemson, I believe, have been the two schools that have been kind of seeking out interest and seeking out where their place could be in the SEC.
Yeah, they reached out. This is
they
not the SEC
out.
Reaching out.
They reached out.
And I think that's what Texas and Oklahoma did too, right?
That'd be my guess,
I think
yeah.
The first contact was made by Texas and OU.
They reached out, but I'm sure you've never done this, BK. Maybe you know that someone's been interested for a long time, and then you reach out later. And just seeing if you're still interested. Mm. But you knew she was into you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I do that all the time.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Well, and now with all the apps, it makes it a lot easier.
That's a good point. Yeah, and apparently, according to, so it was Mark Ryan, who is a blue check guy on Twitter, not
Uh-oh.
Too familiar with his work, but he's the guy who tweeted out, per a reliable source, Clemson and Florida State have reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. He also said the SEC is concerned that streaming numbers for Clemson and Florida State don't bring what Texas and Oklahoma do. And he ended his tweet by saying Notre Dame is the only quote-unquote free agent left that would add to the pot. So, yeah, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, bigger brands than Clemson and Florida State. I think they bring in more eyeballs than those two schools. Now, Clemson's been awesome recently. Florida State, a ton of tradition, a ton of history with their football program. I think both of those schools would be great adds to any conference, but maybe the SEC is pretty content. Again, this is one report, so who knows what comes from this or if this is even true. But maybe the SEC is pretty content with the 16 that they have right now.
That may be it, but if the SEC was, and that'd be fine. You know, I'd be fine with that. But if the SEC, even if they wanted to stay at 16, well, then if they wanted to make the conference as tough and as good as they claim to, then you get rid of Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, right? Or I'm sorry, not Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
To leave?
Yeah, and you bring in, you mean, that would be an upgrade with Florida State.
Yeah,
Clemson.
You could upgrade a couple of the teams in there, no doubt.
Or take out South Carolina and say we're still going to be in the state.
Right. If you're not adding Clemson or Florida State, then you're not adding anybody, right? I mean, Notre Dame obviously is different.
Notre Dame is different.
If any conference calls you, or excuse me, if Notre Dame calls any conference, then you put them in. You do whatever you have to do to get them in there. But if you're not adding Clemson or Florida State, like you're talking about the schools that feel realistic that are not currently in the SEC.
Yeah.
Like those are two of the biggest dogs out there.
They are. Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, USC. Like those are the big, big dogs
for
me.
I don't know how.
And probably right there with Florida State. And hell, it's even weird to say now, but with what they've done in football, Clemson's right there.
Can we get USC in the SEC?
I'm just spitballing some of the crazy ideas that I've heard that I would never, ever give on radio except for what has happened the last however many years.
Right. And it's just geographically, it makes no sense. But
a lot of this has made no sense geographically.
That's
that has not
point.
Stopped a lot of this from happening.
No, of course. And it wouldn't stop it either, right? If USC reaches out,
I understand.
The SEC
that makes no sense.
We're talking about the Southeastern Conference here.
Right. You would just rename it because you're turning it into a beyond power conference of 24, right?
Right. I was just doing some quick math there.
Yeah, so you would need eight more teams, but that's what I'm talking about with if you threw in Florida State, Miami, Clemson, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, Washington, whatever that would be. I mean, where you could try and create just this, oh my God.
Just have your own sport.
Yeah.
And you don't need to do a national playoff. You just decide the champion from your own league.
Pretty much. I hope it doesn't go there.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
Power conferences of 16 is the most I want it to go.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
That makes sense for a lot of parties, I would think. 33 days away from the 2021 college football season beginning.
Would you want Miami or Florida State more? Or Clemson? I mean, because we talk about being prisoner in the moment, and it's bigger than a moment, and I do think Clemson will be forever changed their football reputation and program, but what if Clemson kind of goes back to what Clemson was for 100 years in football? You're thinking, well, Miami and Florida State would have been the ad.
I want the worst.
Right. Now that we're in it,
from
absolutely.
From a competition standpoint, it's like, I don't know if I want to add Clemson to this mess.
Not right now.
I've already got enough teams to deal with going to that conference.
Doesn't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it does not. All right, let's take one more look at the number 20 team on the Horn Top 20 Countdown. Here we go.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 20, the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our beginning is the best part, right here. You didn't blow it up. That's the best part of the song.
That was a cymbal.
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
That wasn't a drop.
I don't think that was a symbol.
That plays under further review.
That's fair. Louisiana, number 20 on the Horn Top 20 countdown. By the way, real quick, there is a Jay Hartzell quote that is starting to make the rounds on social media, so I'll mention that before we analyze the Raging Cajuns.
What are we analyzing?
Apparently, Jay Hartzell was asked about the first contact between Texas and the SEC, and President Hartzell said, quote, we reached out to the SEC this spring, end quote.
Okay.
So the speculation of Texas being the first to contact is there. That's accurate. This spring is interesting because we did hear a report that conversations have been going on behind the scenes from anywhere from 6 to 12 months, which that would not fit the time frame of the spring.
Yeah, but in the spring and really every season, isn't it different from what we think it actually is?
Explain.
I mean, they'll say the summer starts today. It's like, nah, the summer started three weeks ago. I mean, it depends on how hot it is, how cold it is, just the climate of, in my head, okay. I always think of spring and fall maybe even differently than what they officially are.
Okay, that's
fair.
I'm
saying you could play with that a little bit if you're trying to be a jokester about this.
But 6 months ago was February. We remember what February was like here. That was not spring.
That's not spring, but that can be spring to some people. That's the start of spring. Yeah. Isn't that the start of spring?
Just because the Buffalo Bills might come here doesn't mean we all of a sudden have Buffalo weather.
When does spring start? No, for us, usually it's different because it actually feels like spring.
Spring starts March 21st.
Yeah.
Man, that is some slow typing going on in there.
March 20th.
Your Guam is not good. Your gross words a minute.
It used to be good. It's not anymore because no. I'm not worried about that.
You probably don't need to be.
March 20th to June 21st.
Okay. There you go.
June 21st is the one I'm thinking of. I'm like, yeah, summer starts today. Like, yeah. Usually, no, dude, summer started a month and a half ago usually.
In Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, President Hartzell could easily be lying here, right?
Yeah.
But that is interesting because, once again, we've heard 6 to 12 months with these conversations behind the scenes involving Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC. Jay Hartzell was asked about it a few minutes ago, and he said, we reached out to the SEC this spring. So there is that. All right. One last look at Louisiana for today. Of course, we'll be talking about Louisiana football a lot as we inch closer to September 4th. But they are number 20 on the Horn Top 20 countdown, brought to you by Altstadt Beer. Their coach is good. I said it before. I'll say it again. He wants this game bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, thanks, Captain Obvious. They're playing Texas. Everybody wants to beat Texas, especially when you're a small school. Billy Napier turned down the Auburn job this offseason. Auburn, not a blue blood, but like a very respectable college football program in the best conference in the sport. Like, they've got a lot going for them. They've competed for and played in multiple national championships in the last decade and a half.
Yep.
A lot is good with Auburn football. Not a lot of coaches are going to turn down that job. Billy Napier turned it down. I think a big part of why he turned it down is he knows he was going to have a bunch of guys coming back this year,
mm-hmm.
and he knows that he has the chance to beat Texas at Texas week one. So a big game for him. They've got experience. Like, that's the biggest difference. Texas obviously has more talent than Louisiana, but Louisiana obviously has more production and more experience than Texas does. We're talking about a team with arguably the most returning production in the country going up against a team that ranks dead last in the Big 12 in terms of returning production. So the chemistry, well, that's a question for Texas, trying to figure out how these guys can play under Sark and how these guys will play together. Those are questions for us. Those are not questions for Louisiana.
No, as we said, they've been able to add on to whatever they wanted to. And a lot of that add-on is for the first game. Look, they came out, and it's not like there's a lot of trickery. They just honestly beat the crap out of Iowa State. They beat them up physically. They were the better football team. They won 31-14. That was not an upset. So that should definitely put Texas on high alert. But as BK points out, Texas is just trying to get their S together. And I don't even mean that as a shot. I just mean, hey, first game, first defense, new defense, first new offensive plays, all that stuff is new. There's no holdover, really. So we'll see how much they were able to get done in the spring. And as you talked about, this is kind of one of those bench point or benchmark games that you look at and say, okay, not only is it the toughest non-conference game you have, but, oh, yeah, also it's the first game that you have as a new staff and as new players with that. So don't be surprised if not only Louisiana is right in this game, but also wins this game. And I'm a little surprised with the line looking at it.
Yeah, double digits right now. The one thing, there are a couple things, I guess, but one thing that bodes well for Texas, Louisiana was the beneficiary of a lot of luck last year.
They were.
they were really good in close games. They had more net close wins than any team in college football. You say, well, what does that matter? That's hard to replicate. Look at Texas. We saw it here, 2018 to 2019. Texas was one of the best teams in the country in one-score games in 2018. The year they won the Sugar Bowl and won 10 games. In 2019, they weren't. They were a 500 team in one-score games. It's tough to replicate that. A bounce of the ball, a call goes your way, whatever. You're flirting with disaster if you're involved in a lot of close games. Tom Herman knows that. Texas fans know that. That was Louisiana last year. That's something that I think should give you a little bit more confidence, too.
I think it's a good point. We're not even talking about the Iowa State game. We've given you that, and it's not like we're trying to go back on that. That was an ass-whipping. Yeah. But next week, or next game at Georgia State, they win by 3 in OT. Georgia Southern, they win 20-18. UAB, they win 24-20, and then go to Appalachian State, and they won 24-21. They're a good team, so they won those games, sure. And it's only going to add to who they are. But there was some luck there.
No doubt about that. So there's Louisiana, the 20th-ranked team on the Horn Top 20 countdown. We'll count them down all the way to number one as we preview the 2021 college football season. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, it'll be time for the BK Lounge. An update on what's going on at this Senate hearing. People taking some shots at President Hartzell. Pretty funny stuff to get to. Also, we might have ourselves a modern-day Pete Rose. The details next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles yet?
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. August 2nd, 2021 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678. To get the home TV setup of your dreams, do it by the time football season gets here. We actually have football this week, live football, the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's going to be so nice.
And the NFL Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio.
Right.
It will be nice.
The only thing about it is you get so excited that you have a reminder that, man, you are so excited just to see anything. You're only going to see 4 plays.
Dude, I'm excited for preseason football. We didn't get that last year at all.
Right.
Like, I know most people don't really care about it, but I care about it.
Yep.
And it tells me that this is going to be a relatively close to normal football season,
mm-hmm.
which I know we had football last year, and I am incredibly grateful for that, but that was not normal football in the NFL or in college.
Right.
We're going to have that this year, which is awesome, and the Hall of Fame game tells you that. So Thursday night, Cowboys and Steelers, that's pretty exciting. Before we get to the modern-day Pete Rose story, KD, a quote from the Senate meeting/hearing going on right now involving Texas politicians and representatives from some of the state schools here in the Lone Star State.
Right.
Jay Hartzell gave his speech, and apparently there are state senators now asking questions/grilling President Hartzell.
Yeah.
And State Senator Charles Perry, who represents Lubbock, also believe he is a Texas Tech grad, said this to Jay Hartzell a few minutes ago. Quote, if you're as big and great as you think you are, you should have made the Big 12 equal or better than the SEC. You didn't do it. End quote.
God.
Pettiness.
Okay.
We're not talking about Bryce here.
Yeah.
Pettiness going on amongst the other fan bases. And look, Tech.
So the Texas was going to be so good, they're going to lift them up?
Right. Yeah, like Texas needed to be so good that they needed to make the other 9 teams in their conference better than all of the 14 brands in the SEC.
Okay. It's a weird jab. But.
Yeah, it is. Also scary that that guy is like making state decisions for us.
Yeah.
I forget college sports. Like, that's the logic you have right there? Like, one team should be good enough to make your conference better than a 14-team conference?
You and I, you especially, but you and I aren't looking at state politics a ton.
Oh, you're wrong, dude. I'm all over it.
You don't know who any of these people are.
C-SPAN 1, C-SPAN 2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. C-SPAN 3.
Uh-huh.
PBS.
PBS.
Fox.
You're all over it.
Business news things. So, yeah, there's talking politics here on the show. I just thought that was funny. And Tech fans are mad at Texas for two reasons this year.
Yeah. So it starts with beards.
Yeah, exactly. There's a double pettiness going on. But we'll have more quotes, I'm sure, from this event. But it's been pretty funny to monitor. Just a lot of jabs being thrown Texas's way. And you figured that's going to happen. That's going to happen a lot between now and whenever the hell Texas is actually in the SEC. How about this, KD? The NHL has a juicy investigation on its hands. Maybe not juicy for them, but juicy for us. Evander Kane is a forward on the San Jose Sharks. Pretty good player. Top five draft pick back in 09, still in the league. He's been a 30-goal scorer twice. Like, not quite an all-star, but like one of those guys that, like, if you're a hockey fan, you know this dude.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. And he's currently on a 7-year contract. Like, to get a 7-year contract in any sport, you've got to be pretty good. So we're not talking about a nobody here. On Saturday, an Instagram account that appears to belong to Kane's wife posted a story accusing Kane of betting on his own games.
Whoa.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, well, I have. I saw
it. Okay, well, some of the details are crazy. She also accuses him of throwing games on purpose to win bets.
Apparently an ugly divorce is going on.
Yes, estranged wife right now, but about to be ex-wife, according to Evander himself. So the IG post from his wife said, quote, "How does the NHL let a compulsive gambling addict still play when he's obviously throwing games to win money? Maybe someone needs to address this."
Yeah, I mean, talk about some serious allegations.
Yeah.
Like, that's as, for what he does, that's as low as you can go.
She also added, quote, "Can someone ask Commissioner Gary Bettman how they let a player gamble on his own games, bet and win with bookies on his own games, ? End quote. She also, in a separate story post, and this is where it gets bad.
This is where it gets bad?
Well, bad on a personal level.
Yeah.
Like, this is obviously morally wrong, and it's against the rules, and it's illegal. So, well, I guess that's all pretty bad, those three things I just said. But, like, this one actually, like, hurts me.
Okay.
Because, I'm a Pete Rose guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be banned from
baseball. You're a degenerate.
Yeah.
You've got one of yours who's in the league.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But in a separate Instagram story post, the wife, Anna is her name, accused her husband of spending a lot of money partying in Europe while asking her to sell off her wedding ring, and also he apparently wasn't able to afford baby formula for their child.
Yeah, the formula is what got me the most, and not the wedding ring, but I'm sure that got her. Look, we have no idea. This is he said, she said, and then he said some things about her, which he had to pretty much saying she's crazy.
Yeah, so the NHL released a statement on Saturday night saying they're aware of the allegations and they're going to investigate. But yesterday, Evander Kane responded and vehemently denied the claims in a tweet, saying he's never gambled or bet on hockey, never gambled or bet on a Sharks game, never bet on any of his own games. He's never thrown a hockey game.
Said he had the best year he's had, most consistent, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He actually is coming off a pretty good year, so the timing of this feels a little bit odd, right? Like, if he's throwing games, he wouldn't have played as well as he played. But he was very, very solid last year for San Jose.
Here's one thing about throwing games. You've got to be elite to be able to throw games. Because you've got to be, right? I mean, unless you're always just throwing games to where you lose.
You're bad.
Where
that's just
you're
you
bad.
Being a bad player.
Right.
But yeah, if you're good enough to throw games where nobody notices, then you're pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some clout built up. So he also released a separate statement where he says he loves his daughter and he's taking care of her in every way possible. And he does kind of call out the wife in this situation.
And this is just bad on either side.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
So once again, he called her estranged, and then he said, about to be my ex-wife. So it's a nasty divorce here. It's a lot of he said, she said. But why there might be something here, KD? Like, at first when I hear stuff like this and I hear that it's a messy divorce, I almost assume everything's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm always innocent until proven guilty. But whenever it's like a messy divorce going on, it's like, okay, there could be some stuff made up here to try to help your image,
right?
And just bash the other person.
I doubt everything's true, but theoretically, everything could be true. Here.
Absolutely, and
all
of it. And here's why this really could be true. All of it.
She's crazy. He's gambling.
Kane has a history with this. In 2019, he was sued by the Cosmopolitan in Vegas after allegedly walking out on $500,000 worth of debt.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, and that suit was dropped last year. That suit was filed.
Mm-hmm.
This year, apparently, Kane filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in California with $26.8 million in debt. Apparently, he was sued by a bank over an unpaid loan.
Oh, my God.
So maybe there's something there. Like, it seems like, based on those two lawsuits, that this dude might not be great with money.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's gambling or throwing games or anything she's alleging. But
he's making a lot of money, so.
Yeah.
Drug habit, and that would be a good way to get rid of it quickly.
Absolutely could be. And, you know, a little different than Pete Rose. Well, a lot different than Pete Rose. Like, Pete Rose was always betting on his teams, right?
So
the story goes. Maybe he wasn't, but his teams were pretty good. But yeah, that's at least on paper the difference, or one of the differences between Evander Kane and Pete Rose. But this is insane, dude. Like, we might have ourselves a modern-day Pete Rose situation. And we've had allegations of fixing and some gambling over the years. But, man, I don't know if we've had one involving a player as respectable as Evander Kane betting on his own games since the Pete Rose story.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. Rose, when we found out, was at the end of his run. And, well, I guess he probably would have been out by then, but I'm thinking of him managing.
Yeah.
Kane's not a Hall of Famer yet, though, is he?
No, I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But right now, currently, he's a really good player.
Great player. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. It really is. Not Pete Rose level in terms of player, of course, but some juicy details right here.
Yeah.
And I want to see how the league investigation unfolds, and they want to get this done quick. They say they want to have this done by the start of training camp, which is like in a month for hockey. So we might find out some of the details fairly soon. But, man, this is messy and it's juicy.
No, I mean,
I like it.
This is one of those stories. It feels like we're just getting a lot of them, that you just don't see stories like this very often. And this one was kind of nestled in between a bunch of other crazy crap that's going on.
Yeah, this is like back page news because of everything else that's happening in sports.
But it wouldn't be. But if you go through stuff right now, it kind of is. Yeah, I saw that pop over the weekend and just thought, holy hell.
Bizarre. Bizarre, bizarre.
And sad, too.
Yes.
Because there's a kid. Now, it's worse if the kids actively at the time know what's going on and are reading newspapers. And kids don't read newspapers, what am I thinking? They're online and reading stories about this and everything. Luckily, it sounds like the kid is, as long as she's getting her breast milk.
I was about to say, as long as she's getting her formula,
then she's going to be okay. But, yeah, it's just like the sharks that are divorce attorneys are pretty crazy.
Pun?
Of course there is there.
Do you know why there's a pun?
He's a shark.
Okay, good job.
Come on, get out of here.
Making sure.
Yeah, I knew that.
You and hockey, you know, you never know.
Hey, fair enough.
You never know.
Fair enough.
There's our hockey talk for the year here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we will wrap up the show and tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash you?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good.
Pop a top again. I've just got time.
Back here on the Triple Option with RBKD. It's our final segment of the show. Appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Monday afternoon with us. No Rod Babers, just me and KD. Rod B will be back with us on Thursday. He got married over the weekend. Congrats to the new Mr. and Mrs. Babers. Still celebrating, I'm sure. We'll have Rod back in the saddle on Thursday. KD and I will be holding down the forts until then. KD, what's on tap for you tonight, man?
What's on tap? Going to grab something to eat and go home and really not do much. Going to get ready for tomorrow. So that's about it. I know. I don't have
get
a lot.
Get ready for tomorrow.
I know.
It's like 6 o'clock.
I know.
Already?
It's not 6 o'clock. It's almost like 7 o'clock.
I'm rounding down.
When I'm done eating, I'll check out some TV.
There you go.
What about you?
I'll be very tuned into NBA free agency.
Okay.
We're already seeing a lot of big deals going down in the association. The Mavs have signed a couple of players. The Spurs brought in Doug McDermott and also Zach Collins, former Gonzaga Bulldog, both of them going to San Antonio. Mavs bringing back Tim Hardaway Jr. and Boban.
Boban.
Also Reggie Bullock. Old school, Reggie Bullock.
Which I'm trying to go through right now.
He is signing from the New York Knicks. He apparently just signed a free agent deal with the Dallas Mavericks.
Where did Bullock go?
I think he's Carolina, but I'm not even sure.
Man.
Top of my head.
Asking questions you don't know the answer
to. Well, you're the guy who's supposed to know this.
I know.
I learned from you.
Wrong
this is your
era.
Bit. I know the answers to my bits.
Wrong era.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I'll be doing that. Rangers, Angels tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm still, for some reason, watching the Rangers play baseball. No Astros tonight, so I will not be watching them this evening.
How about my ex-Cubbies? See that? First trio ever to be traded from a team, and then all three of them hit a home run in their first game with the new team.
Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I am. I mean, and you can tell whether you're going to be or not. You can tell yourself, oh, I'll be happy, and then you actually see it, and you're like, okay, well, are you really happy? I was happy for all three of them.
Yeah.
I was happy Kimbrel looked good in the eighth inning.
Even for Chicago?
Yeah, it's because I don't have that. I don't have that whole hating the South Side. My dad's from there. My dad was from Chicago and has that. It's usually people that are from there that really have that. But, I mean, I like the Cubs more, but I've got no problem with the White Sox. Really, it's the Cardinals, and that's it. And that's only because they've beaten up on the Cubs so much.
Yeah, that's fair.
They actually have a good fan base.
I don't like them either. You know what else is on tonight? Luka from Slovenia will be playing knockout round basketball against Germany.
Okay, would that be on main NBC, or is that going to be on one of those I have to go flag down, like a 314 or a 104 or a 1-something?
I just hope it's on one of those and not Peacock.
Yeah.
You might have to just go through the app to watch this. But I'll find a way to watch it. I'm not a big Germany guy for obvious reasons, and I'm a big Slovenia guy with Luka on the team. So, man, what he's done in these Olympics is pretty impressive. Like, if he can find a way to lead Slovenia to a medal, obviously a gold medal would be insane. But, like, I don't think anybody can name anybody else on that team besides Luka.
Yeah.
And yet it feels like Slovenia is one of the favorites. They're not with the U.S., but they're, like, one of the teams that could conceivably win a gold this year.
This has been fun so far, and I like the Olympics. I know that it's gotten – apparently the ratings are down, so – but it's been – especially anytime –
the timing is terrible, right? Like, American TV ratings are bad because it's on overnight.
Yeah, it's on overnight. Exactly. So they're going to be down. But swimming's been great. Swimming, and I don't really, not in diving, but swimming's been fantastic.
Yeah. I'm in on the Olympics, man.
I am too.
It's always on. It's either live or recorded.
That's one
I never
of the great
know if,
about
it's,
it.
If it's live or not, but it's always on. So I'm down to watch.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have plenty of stuff to get into, and we'll kind of recap what exactly happened with the Texas Senators and Jay Hartzell. I'm curious to go back and hear just how heated that got. As BK mentioned, you got Angels, Rangers, Chris Rodriguez, and Dane Dunning. And we've got some more stuff coming up for you right here that is live. It is local. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. And then at 8 o'clock, Insincerious with Patrick. That is always a fun and good show. Check us out tomorrow. That'll do it for us. For Rod Babers, who's newly married, not here. For Brad Kellner, who's going to be married sooner than he thinks. I'm Kevin Dunn. Peace, y'all.
True!